Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Naked Englishman podcast. I'm Richard Vobes. This is... I'm just trying to work out the date. Is it... it's Sunday. I think it's the 3rd. I don't think it's the 4th. Or is it the 4th? I'm going to have to look now. It's the 3rd. Ah, it's bank holiday. Tomorrow, the 4th, summer bank holiday. Interesting. I'd forgotten about that. Yes, so it's the 3rd of August today. And it's just after 6 o'clock in the morning. It's a Sunday. I have a cup of milk this morning. And sitting in my sofa, just to give you an idea, sitting in it. Yeah, no, sitting on it. And the sun is up and there are streaks in the sky. Feeling a bit slow this morning, not sure why. Yesterday, worked on the book, got pretty much a lot done, which is good. Also went with Julia to a garden centre, another garden centre. She wanted to have a look at some bits and pieces. And I also wanted to track down a... Let's have a look, what's it actually called? Because I did find one in the end. We had to go to two different garden centres. This was recommended to me by two people. And let's just see what this is called. It's a hoe. But this is a 1.3 kilogram. So you get the hoe head separately. I never quite understood why they do it this way. You get the hoe head, which is just a great big sheet of metal, really, shaped and sharpened, which you can probably hear. And then you buy the handle separately, dirty great big hoe handle, a bit longer than a pickaxe handle. And it doesn't bolt on at all, it just threads through the handle and then it tapers at the bottom. And this hoe is very good for digging. And actually, I don't know where it was originally designed, but apparently you see, you know, in Asia and places like that, they very much have very basic tools. And they can till fields and dig holes and various things with very limited tools and manpower, you know, just manpower. Now, that very much appeals to me, even though I may be 62. I'm going to have to blow my hooter now. Because it will keep you fit, for one thing. Anyway, that's one of the things. So... Julia and I are slowly building up a little, I was going to say a library, but it's not really a library, is it, of tools and things that we are going to need. I bought a tarpaulin. I have got a knackered old tarpaulin in the shed that I have, but I bought a nice one with ringlets on, because I think wherever we go, we're going to need some form of shelter. Because you're working on the land and you're going to need some form of shelter. And initially, the easiest thing, I suppose, would be to build a frame and then just put a tarpaulin over the top so you've got shelter. We had thunderstorms and rain the other day here and it was torrential. It just came on and then stopped. And I thought, well... That's the sort of thing, and you probably want a little bit of shelter if it's too hot. You've got the sun blazing down on you. You want to have a little bit of shelter, and you may not want it permanent. And that's the other thing I was thinking. You don't want to build things too quickly because you may want to move them, and it may be too heavy to move once you've built it. So little temporary things. Now, I know you can buy... what do you call them, little pagoda things, or whatever they are, these gazebos, and you could you know, flimsy looking gazebos and things like that, which takes too long to erect and things. For the garden, you could do that. That's very true. But a tarpaulin has multi uses. You could put it on the ground, put stones over it, and it will kill off grass and stuff, so that you might want to then use that area as a veg patch and put your compost on. So I think that's an investment. Something else I picked up whilst we were there, and this is part of the sort of building up the toolkit, I suppose, is spending the money now rather than so that, not spending the money as if it's just one pot, but buying stuff now, because when you're on the land, you may be miles away from anywhere else. Who knows? And at least you've got stuff that, you know, you thought, oh, I might need this and I might need that. So the other thing I have bought is some what's called natural jute twine. I don't know how long it is. It doesn't really say, but it's quite a big roll of it. And I figured that you might need to bind things together, and mark out things with the twine and hold things up, and just seemed like a sensible thing to get, really. So got some. It may appear on the outside to people that one is a bit bonkers, and in some respects one does feel a bit bonkers doing all of this, but it is actually quite fun at the same time, although I don't really want to load my house up with too much stuff, because I suppose ultimately got to get rid of it as well. There's plenty of stuff to get rid of. Getting rid of it is not as easy, it seems to me, as acquiring. Acquiring has become very easy. Getting rid of is not so easy, it would seem. There we go. Nice cup, nice glass of milk for the morning. I'll make myself a cup of coffee a bit later. So that's that. Now, I was thinking this morning. What was I thinking? I was thinking of something to discuss. Oh yes, this might make a video, I suppose. I don't know. I woke up in the night. Excuse me, yawning. I woke up in the night thinking about, I was thinking about what is God and what is the ether and what is the universe and what is the source. And, you know, we use these terms interchangeable. Well, not all of us. Some of us do. And it struck me, I suppose, you know, when you dream, everything seems much more logical. And you wake up and you're lying in this semi-comatose state. And everything seems more logical. And when you wake up, it might not appear as logical as it is. Although I still think this is logical. Yawning a lot today. And this may not be such perceived wisdom. You know, you when you're lying in bed and you think certain things, you think, oh, wow, that is deep, man. That's deep. Yeah, that's really deep. I've worked something out. And then in the cold light of day, you go, oh, yeah, that's not as deep wisdom as I thought. It's sort of general knowledge. Why did I think it was as deep as I thought? I don't know whether you ever get that. It certainly is true with me. Anyway, my point, I suppose, is that the air that we breathe, the ether that we live in and move our bodies in, the universe, which is what a well, what is it? The universe. Is it a metaphor? Is it an actuality? Is it real? Do we know it exists? What is it? Is it just an allegory? Is it a thing? I don't really know. The universe, one uses that as a sort of the everything, don't we? God. If you take away the concept of a man in the sky with a beard looking down, what is it? Is it the same as the ether, the universe, and the source of everything? We can't really pinpoint what the source is. Now, I have various theories in my own mind about the fact that, and I've spoken about it on here, that we are the only thing there ever is and there ever was, and everything else that we see around us is not real. I don't think it's real at all. But we are we're experiencing a physical reality or a non-reality that is really, when we know what it is just vibration, isn't it? So, I'm very slow this morning. I do apologise. I think I slept really well and I've woken up and I am refreshed, but I'm just trying to get the fug of sleep out of me this morning. So anyway, what I was trying to see, I'm waffling around the subject, not getting to it. What I'm trying to say is the energy, the ether, the air and everything else is like a massive battery. It's energy, isn't it? And when we breathe, we are charging our battery. And I think that to charge our battery and have infinite energy and the ability to do anything, and that's what I would like at this moment, infinite energy, I can tell you, is we have to have an awareness of it. Just an awareness. We have to have the knowledge that it's there. We don't necessarily have to know as in, you know, have it proved by scientists and say, oh yes, there it is. The belief system is enough to know that the energy, this infinite energy that we can tap into by breathing or by thinking and putting the two together, thinking and breathing, I think. The breathing is the physical action. Believing and knowing is the mental action. So it's a sort of dual thing. And that by doing that, you can just breathe deeply and know that the ether, the air, the source, the God, whatever it is charging you back up when you're tired. And so I suppose my foggy early morning funk here is actually telling me that's what I need to do. Deep breathing. Proper breathing down into the solar plexus, holding that breath, holding that charge, as we are like batteries and the ether is charging us up, and we can charge ourselves up easily, effortlessly. I mean, obviously there are other ways to charge yourself up. Food is clearly a way to get energy. Sleep is another way, is a sort of trickle charge, if you like. And water, of course, pure, clean water. But I think the daily, everyday thing that we need to remember is that when we breathe, it is the breath of life. Sorry, I have mumbled my way around this idea or concept or whatever. It's not an original idea by any means, but it sort of hit me in the night how important it is. And it's the sort of thing that I've known for years, and most people know, But sometimes you just have to be reminded of what you know. Does that make sense? Of course it does. Of course it does. I explained it perfectly well in between my yawns and everything else. Anyway, it is only just after 6 o'clock in the morning. And I need to do some breathing and charge up my battery and charge around the house and do whatever it is I'm going to do today. So I'm not going to make this terribly long because I think I am not being terribly coherent. But maybe tomorrow I will be. Anyway, my friends, and thank you for listening if you did. What I am saying is breathe deeply and suck in that energy. And know that wherever you are, whatever you're doing, you can pause. Throw your hands into the air so you connect with it. I mean, the ether will be coming right down to the ground. I mean, I guess the ether is in everything, isn't it? So you throw your hands in the air anyway. Expand your lungs. Breathe in. And allow the mental side of you to conceptualize. It's not just air, you know, or oxygen that's just coming in to keep you alive. It's actually intrinsic energy that's bursting you with life. You are, you know, full of life, full of vigor, full of life as you breathe deeply and slowly and you know, like a big battery, you're charging yourself up to keep going. And of course, that will make huge differences to your mood. When our moods are down, we breathe shallowly, don't we? You can't really breathe. When you're really depressed or you know, feeling mopey, you don't breathe with your head high, your arms up, your chest expanded, and your diaphragm pulling deeply into the lungs. You might do a deep sigh, but a sigh is an expulsion, isn't it? But, so, if you ever feel like that, connect back to the ether, which could be any of those things, God, the universe, the source, whatever you call it, the energy, the chi of life. They're all kind of one and the same, really. And breathe in, knowing that you're charging yourself, and your mood will change. Your mood has to change. The physiology of the body as you stand erect with your arms in the air, your chest expanded, your lungs open, your diaphragm sucking in the air, down, allowing that oxygen to go around the body and the ether to permeate every muscle and pore and cell in the body and weave its way through the blood-brain barrier and oxygenate the skull and the housing of the brain and your third eye and the connection with the ether on a mental higher self place method. So what I'm saying is breathing is important. There we go. That's it. Thank you very much for listening. I will talk to you soon.